Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, which are all great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm very excited for this week's show because this is part two of my very special interview with a terrific friend of mine, the nation's leading expert on how to build a highly profitable consultancy, my good friend Martin Howie. Martin, thank you for coming back for part two of our New Year's episode.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jim. Nice to be with you again.
You know, so Martin, last week we covered kind of some mindset things because what I figured is that, you know, everybody has a little bit of extra enthusiasm, a little bit of extra maybe bounce in their step about what they want to achieve this year. And so I wanted to do a call with you because you've got so much experience helping other people take their businesses to new levels. How do you kind of harness some of that and keep it going for more than, you know, a week to 10 days before we're all back eating pizza and bonbons? So on the first call we did last week, and by the way, if you're just tuning in for the first of this series, go back either in iTunes or getjimpalmer.com and listen to part one of this interview that I did with Martin, because we really covered some great stuff, some really kind of high-level mindset stuff and some things about working with your business and making it fit your lifestyle and things like that. But today, what I'd like to do, Martin, is talk a little bit more nuts and bolts about business, about goals and objectives. You know, what are your thoughts on certain goals and objectives for the year? And as you talk about that, are there certain activities that, you know, that you've noticed that highly successful people do day in and day out?
Well, I think, first of all, Jim, great question. I believe that the goals and activities that you have, at least the goals you have, let's start with the goals, they should be realistic goals. And too many times when we set New Year's resolutions, we set unrealistic goals, and there's no way we're going to make those goals because we're going to fade very, very quickly. So they have to be realistic goals, something that you can realize with a little extra effort, you can make those things happen. But then your activities need to be activities that are doable activities, where you have a reasonable expectation of being able to do that activity. Sometimes we'll say, well, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to go every day, and I'm going to work out for an hour and a half every day. I'm going to do my 30 minutes of cardio, I'm going to lift my weights and do all of those kinds of things. But that's not realistic. That isn't what you've been doing in the past. And to start right off and try to do that probably isn't going to work. You're going to end up getting sore the very first couple of days when your enthusiasm is at an all-time high, but then you're not going to be able to work out because you're too sore. And so now you get discouraged. You can't go back to the gym because you can't move, you can't walk, you can't move your body around. So it's not realistic. So and I'm using the gym analogy as just a metaphor, but use it for anything in your business. If you're trying to set too difficult a goal and the activities are too strenuous or too involved, you're not going to be able to do it. So you set something up that you can incorporate into your life on a daily basis, and that becomes your lifestyle or your business lifestyle, your personal lifestyle, your family lifestyle. And then it becomes much easier for you to do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I have everything. I was doing a coaching call yesterday, and so one of the entrepreneurs said, Jim, I look at all the different things that you do, the videos, the weekly videos, the weekly podcast, the weekly newsletter, tons of articles, the running two mastermind groups and all that. He wanted to know, he really wanted to take his half an hour coaching call and dissect how I do that. And it was quite an interesting thing. I mean, I can pretty much tell them off the top of my head. But, Martin, one of the things I realized as I was explaining my schedule is I am extremely scheduled, if you will. So there's no inbound or outbound calls that are not scheduled. I'm not picking up the phone, getting interrupted. I do coaching calls 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't schedule anything for Monday and Friday because those are kind of production days. Those are when I'll record podcasts or videos or do other things. And everything, including my newsletter, which I've been doing for over 5 years, is still scheduled. Comes up every Thursday, right next Tuesday's newsletter. So I think that's a big thing is people, you know, they may schedule a doctor's appointment or something else, but they don't schedule their life enough. Do you find that? I mean, even for things like exercising or whatever, I mean, everything for me is kind of pretty much blocked out on my schedule. So I don't mean I run like a robot, but without it, certain things wouldn't get done.
Yeah, you're right. And that's what I mentioned in our last conversation is I'm the same way, Jim. I set things up where I'm scheduled to do certain things. Now, if you look at most people who have a regular job, it's the same kind of a thing. They get up in the morning. There's a certain ritual they go through before they ever walk out the door. Getting up, getting showered, shaving, makeup, eating their breakfast, whatever it happens to be. And then they get out into the car and they drive off to work. And they go to work for a certain amount of time. They take a break in the morning. They work a little bit more. They take lunch. They come back and they do something more. They come back home and they go through another ritual in the afternoon or in the evening at home. And in the business, if you have your own business, you need to do the same kind of a thing. What do you do first thing when you come in the morning? What is the first thing you do? Well, in my case, I try to get my marketing done first thing in the morning. That way, if anything comes up during the day, I've at least got that part of it done. The most important thing I can do in my business is marketing. So I get that done. Then I have another time period that I do something else in my business. So it's easy when that time period comes up, I can pretty well know that here's what I'm going to be doing. So I'm geared up for that particular activity then. So And that goes on throughout the day. Now, I'm not real strict. I don't hold myself real strict to that because, you know, there's other things that come up during the day that I need to take care of or I want to take care of. Sometimes I just don't feel like doing something, so I might put that off and do something else. But the most important things I get done first thing before I even check my email or anything else. So I think being structured or having some type of at least an agenda for the day of some kind, even if it's pretty loose on some of the things, but the things that are very important, very necessary, you get scheduled. One of the things I use, Jim, is I use a scheduling, an online scheduling device. When somebody wants to schedule a phone call with me, I don't just take normal calls. I take as they come in. If somebody wants to schedule a phone call with me, they click on a link, and that takes them to my calendar. They can schedule a time, and then when that time comes, it puts that call on my calendar as well as their calendar. And that time period is removed from my calendar now and replaced with their information, so that I only accept calls at certain times during the day, so it doesn't interrupt my day and I don't get taken away from the things that are important to me.
Awesome. You know, I know one of the things that you work with all your consultants on is kind of their activity, their daily activity, because you're right. I think you said early on when if you're an employee for somebody and you punch a clock, you kind of have a set routine. There may be some variations. The problem for entrepreneurs, especially creative entrepreneurs, where their mind can be like zinging, pinging all over the place, is making sure that you look back. This is one of the strategies I know you do. You have people look back at the activities that yielded the highest revenues. And I talk about that a lot too. People, what should I be doing? I said, first thing is look at the things that you can do that are going to produce the highest result, okay? And if you're currently like just, for example, entering data into an Excel sheet or you're licking your own stamps, well, goodness, they don't lick stamps anymore, but, you know, doing things like that you could have somebody do for you instead of doing the marketing or talking to your clients. In other words, things that will or can or should produce additional revenues, those are the smart activities. So I think there was a question in there somewhere, but, you know, that's one of the things you do is don't you, you have people look at their activities and decide, okay, this paid off over last year, this didn't, so here's what I need to do more of this year.
Absolutely. One of the things you mentioned there is if we look back over the last year and what produced the highest revenue. Now, the revenues are okay, but what I'm really looking for, the only reason I'm looking at revenues, because I also want to look at what were my expenses along the way. So revenue, you see, the most important thing you have in your business is profit. It's not revenue, it's profit. Profit is what's left over after you take the expenses away from your revenue. Now, you can't spend revenue. It's already, most of it's already spent, right? The only thing you have to spend is profit. Now, some people spend revenue. That's called going into debt. They spend something they don't have. But the most important thing you have is your profit. So here's what I'm looking for. If I look at revenue, I also want to look at my expenses and say, yeah, that generated a lot of revenue, but there was no profit out because the expense to generate that revenue was too high. What I'm looking for is, can I keep that revenue the same and reduce the expenses, and will that give me more profit? Or should I get rid of that revenue, high revenue-producing activity that's costing me a lot to get and replace it with something that I can generate more of a profit with? So I look at revenue, I look at revenue, I look at expenses, I look at profits. The most important thing out of that whole thing are the profits.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not the money you make, it's the money you keep, you know, and that refers to, you know, Martin, I think I shared this, I haven't used this expression in a long time, but it just popped into my head, and, you know, there was an expression I used many, many years ago in the bike business, and I said, it was kind of weird, I think we're in a recession, and some people were talking about, oh, I'm going to make less, and I'm grossing less, and I was all about focusing on retention, selling more, maximizing the profit, and I was okay if I grossed less, but I had a higher profit. So I said, you know what? Gross is for vanity and net is for sanity. So gross is for kind of bragging rights. Hey, I did $1 million. I did $300,000, whatever it is. But net, which is the amount you keep at the bottom line after your any cost of goods, after all your expenses, whatever you keep that you can distribute or reinvest, or whatever, that is where you get peace of mind. So I thought you'd enjoy hearing that.
Yeah, no, that's very true, Jim, and that is that, you know, so many people are focused on how much they made or what the revenue, the top line revenue is, but in many cases, you have a marketing activity that produces a high top line revenue, but it doesn't trickle down to bottom line profits, and the reason it doesn't is because the cost of acquiring the lead was high, the cost of converting the lead into a sale may be high. In other words, the cost of acquiring a new customer, that's the lead cost plus the conversion cost. That's the customer acquisition cost. That's too high. Maybe the price of delivering the product or service is too high. Maybe you're not getting enough margin on your product when you buy it from your supplier. So you start looking at all those kinds of things, and it has nothing to do really with the growth as much as it has to do with how efficient are you running your operation and how effective is your marketing. The more effective the marketing to bring in the right kinds of clients at the right price point, and then the more efficient you're running your business operations, in other words, how lean are you running, that all contributes to the increase in profits, and that's really what counts.
Exactly right. So, Martin, I need to pause here for a very brief timeout. On the other side, I want to talk to you a little bit about marketing, and then I'm actually going to share a quick story with you and the other listeners about I'm going to actually call this perhaps the greatest advice I got in 2012. It may even be – I don't know if it's all time, but it is phenomenal advice. So hang in there, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this, "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
All right, we are back. Let's get right back to my very special guest, Mr. Martin Howie. Martin, I kind of teased. I want to tell you a quick story. You know, I've been investing in my own personal development and business for a long time, and by way of coaches and mastermind groups and things like that. And last year I was in a pretty high-level group. And so I went there because this is actually very appropriate because it was the January meeting, the first meeting of 2012. And I had what I thought was a laundry list of goals, but I whittled it down to three goals. So I thought I'd score a few points because, in full candor, Martin, I was a little nervous because I knew I wasn't the most successful person in the group, so I wanted to impress, if you know what I mean. And so I shared at the very first morning, we kind of opened up, and I guess the guy leading the group said, so anybody want to go first? And I said, I'll go first because, quite honestly, I didn't want to sit there and think about it all day. So I got up and I did my presentation, and I said, these are the three goals I want to do. And this person said, why do you want to do that? And I wasn't prepared for that question. I thought I'd made it clear. It really knocked me off my game. And but then I gave what I thought was decent answers about growing my business and expanding my customer base and things like that. And so, Martin, what I'm going to tell you now has stuck with me for now, you know, a good 12 months, and I've shared this with a couple people. This is the advice that I think was the best advice I received in January 2012, so I think it's going to fit for everybody here in January 2013. He said, Jim, if you spent half the time focusing on marketing the business and the programs you already have as you do, creating new things, you are going to be so much farther ahead of the game. And I was like, I went from being, it was like one of those moments where in about 5 seconds I had three different thoughts. One was, I went from being slightly embarrassed to relieved, and then I even got exhilarated because I didn't have to go out and create new things and new strategies and new programs for 2012. I already had great programs with No Hassle Newsletters, which we just heard about, No Hassle Social Media, my coaching programs and things like that, and all I had to do was focus on marketing those more, and that was going to produce the highest result for me, and a year later I will absolutely say it was true. So wasn't that great advice?
Well, it really is, and it's a little bit disconcerting on one hand, because if you're a creator and you enjoy creating products, it's like taking the wind out of your sail. But wait, I love doing that. <You know>? But the fact is, I mean, it's absolutely true. Now, if you can, here's the thing: if you can replace your marketing by somebody, an outsourced person, or you know, delegate it to somebody, a staff member, virtual assistant or somebody, or set up automated systems that can handle that, then you can have the best of both worlds. But if you're a one-man shop or you're running on a very lean operational organization, then you're absolutely right. And I know how it is, and you do too, when people buy your product and then they don't do anything with it. They buy another product and another product and another product, and pretty soon you go back and check with them and see how you're doing, and that product's still sitting on the shelf. It isn't how many products you have. It's how much of any one particular product you're using is going to make the difference. I mean, I got books and books and books that I never read. I buy it because I really got excited about it. But even with Amazon, I buy the book and I can have it here the next day. But by the time that book gets here the next day, I'm sometimes moved on to something else.
Yeah.
I'm like everybody else. I mean, we all do the same thing.
You know, what you mentioned creators. And, you know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs are creators. And, Martin, can you hear that? Doggone it.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Toby, do you know we're doing a podcast here? Hold on a sec.
How you doing?
Need to sign for something?
Yeah, I got wine here.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool for New Year's, right?
How about that? There you go. Thank you very much. Martin, question is, am I going to leave this in the podcast? That's too funny. Toby,
you know what?
Here's
the thing, Jim. That's real life.
That is real life. So,
you know, that's the entrepreneur's life.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave it in, I think. It's kind of funny. Toby, everybody knows Toby's my best pal here. So let me tell you what I was going to say about being creative because, you know, when we went to lunch at that mastermind meeting and we talked about it, and, you know, I do love to create. I get these ideas. I get these new ideas for new companies, and it is fun. But what happens is if you create this program, you kind of go into massive action mode, whether it's for a month or 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is, and you build this product and then you market it and it's successful, what you have then is another company or another revenue stream that needs to be managed. And the thing for me, and I think for many small business owners, is, you know, we're not great managers. We're creators, we're innovators, we love the hunt, we love the chase, but we don't like managing. And I think that's where that comes from.
Well, I think you're right, Jim. And, you know, you do have a lot of products. I mean, I look at the things that you have, and I'm going, there's no way I can handle that many products. I just couldn't do it, and I'm not willing to do it. Now, all of your products are integrated, and they're good, and they feed off of each other, and they support each other, and those are good things. But I can see myself, I mean, I have a handful of things that I do, and I do them very well, better than anybody in the industry does them, but, and we get great results from them, but, and I love to create things, I love to write, and I've got 28 books now that I've written, and I've got a bunch of audio programs and DVDs and home study courses, and I've got all kinds of things, but most of the stuff I don't sell. And the reason I don't sell, I use that I give that away when someone comes into our consulting program. I give it away to them so they can use it. But I just don't have time to manage all the sales parts of this and set up the websites. And I realize that you have a virtual assistant or somebody to do that for me. But that's not the main thrust of my business. My main thrust is on helping people become better business consultants and making a lot of money doing that. That's where my expertise is. And that's where I like to focus myself. And the rest of the stuff is just supplementary to that. And I just use it to help my clients, not to sell as an income source. So I think you got to figure out where you are, what your main market is.
Exactly. And Martin, one of the things you do so well, because I happen to know some of your consultants and that have been through your program, they speak very, very highly of you. And one of the things I know you teach in there is the power of positioning. You know, for instance, how is your market different than it was 12 months ago? Because if you have a strategy or a positioning for either yourself as the go-to expert or your business, you know, times change. And if you're still marketing yourself the same way you were, you know, 2 years ago or 5 years ago, I don't know, you could look at it maybe 12 months ago, you know, you're not going to have the same effectiveness. So talk about positioning a little bit.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you're going to be in business, you've got to figure out how can I be the go-to person, the dominant person, and I'm going to use this word, although I don't like the word at all. It's self-imposed by most people. But if you're going to be the guru of the business, or I just don't even like to use that, or the one person, the go-to person, the person who's recognized as the authority in your marketplace, whether it's a brick-and-mortar business or whether it's an online marketing business or consulting business or a professional practice, it doesn't matter what it is, you've got to figure out how can I achieve that position. And the market is constantly changing. And if you're not changing with that market, if you're not doing things differently today than you did yesterday, the market's going to change and you're not. You're still going to be in the same position that you were in. And that's a death knell to your business. So you've got to figure out what is my market looking for, and here's the way you determine that, Jim. The best thing to do to determine what your market is looking for and how to position yourself as the go-to person in that market is to simply ask it. People will vote with their checkbook. They'll determine whether or not you're going to be in business next week, next year. They're going to determine whether or not what kind of a lifestyle you're going to live. They're going to determine whether or not they want your product is any good or their service is any good. They're going to vote by their checkbook. So why not ask the people who can vote what they're looking for, and then turn around and give that back to them, and then plus it. How can I make it better? And the easy thing to do is just go out with a survey and ask a handful of questions. Not an involved survey, something that's very simple to do, very easy for them to respond, 4, 5, 6 questions, and then give them a bonus or some type of a gift for completing that survey and giving you the answers that you need to help give them back what they want. See, most business owners go into business, they say, I have a product or I have a service, and I'm going to sell that product or service. And I'm going to sell it the way I want. It's my business. I'll sell it the way I want. I'll keep the hours that I want, and I'll run the business the way I want to. And most people out there don't like to buy that way. I have a certain way that I like to buy. I don't want to be sold, but I like to buy things. And I want to buy things on my terms, the way I want to do it. And if you can't meet those terms, there's somebody else out there who can. And so it's very important, if you want my business, to treat me the way I need to be treated, the way I want to be treated. And then I will give you my checkbook.
I think that is so incredibly profound and powerful. I think that's probably going to – I think, I'm looking at my clock. I got about 2-3 minutes left, but I think I'm going to end it there because, you know, Martin, it is all about serving your customers. It's all about serving your clients, your patients, giving them what they need, what they want, helping them cure whatever pains they have in their life, and then doing it in a way, as I like to say, with world-class service, over-delivering, putting a little more focus and attention on client retention instead of client acquisition. It's very, very powerful when you do that because, as I like to say on this show especially, your customers, clients, and patients that stay longer end up spending more and referring more, and that in turn drives your profits up faster than if you would just focus on acquisition. So, Martin, this has been an incredible two-show experience. I very much appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you want to say to help the folks make 2013 their best year ever?
Well, I would just say this. Before you go and just set some goals and say this is what I want to do, I would sit down and analyze what, just like we started this conversation today, is what are the things that I would really like to accomplish and why do I want to accomplish them? And like I mentioned earlier on, when your why is big enough, the how becomes very easy, and you'll pull out all stops to get it done. Find something that's meaningful, that's specific, that's meaningful, and that's achievable, with a little stretch maybe, but it's achievable, and then go get it.
Awesome. Now, I know all I got to do is Google Martin Howe, and you'll cover 10 pages of Google, but what's the best website where people can learn more about you and your programs?
Well, thanks, Jim. It's TopLine, TOPLINE, TopLineBusinessSolutions.com. When I was looking for a name of my business years ago, I ran across a quote by Roy Disney, and he said, if you want to affect the bottom line profits, you've got to work on the top line solutions. And so that's what we do. We work on the top line solutions, helping people start businesses or run businesses more effectively, more efficiently, and more importantly, more profitably.
That's awesome. I didn't know that about your name. I just thought you wanted the longest URL you could ever have. So, but that's pretty cool. That came inspired by Mr. Disney.
Roy Disney, Walt's brother.
That's awesome. Well, Martin, thanks again, buddy. And we're going to make 2013 a great year. Thanks for being my very first and special guest of 2013. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's been my pleasure.
And, folks, I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend, Mr. Martin Howe. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.